Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week the New York Times reported that the White House is planning a decade-long project called the Brain Activity Map, which would invest billions of dollars into studying the workings of the human brain. More details about the research are expected next month from Washington, but joining us now to talk about it is one of the leaders of the project that the White House has chosen to sponsor. Dr. Raphael Yust is a neuroscientist and researcher at Columbia University. Dr. Yust, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Hans. Thanks for having me here.
And this project is referred to as the Brain Activity Map Project, or relative to the president's nickname, BAM. What does mapping mean exactly, though, when we're talking about the brain?
Okay. So, you know, the human brain is probably the most sophisticated and complex piece of matter in the universe, okay? There's 100 billion neurons in there. And to make things worse, every one of these neurons is connected with another 10,000 neurons. So we're talking about a trillion connections in matters in ways in which we don't understand. And these neurons generate a pattern of activity that creates who we are, creates our minds. Everything that we do with the brain is created out of that pattern. So in a nutshell, what we want to do is to build instruments to go in there and watch that activity pattern and be able to put it out in the web so that researchers from all over the world can mine it the same way that they've been doing with the human genome.
Now, listeners, we're opening up the phones for you to talk to Dr. Yust, maybe with your own pitches for areas of study for this project. Who knows? Dr. Yust has been advising the president on this brain activity map project, so he's the right person to hear your pitches or just your curiosity questions about the human brain. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, of course, that's our on-air line, not our pledge line, and we'll never ask you for money while you're talking on the air. 212-433-9692. Here's a clip from the President's State of the Union address last month where he kind of signaled that he might be going in a direction something like this.
Every dollar we invested to map the human genome returned $140 to our economy. Every dollar. Today, our scientists are mapping the human brain to unlock the answers to Alzheimer's. They're developing drugs to regenerate damaged organs, devising new materials to make batteries 10 times more powerful. Now is not the time to gut these job-creating investments in science and innovation. Now is the time to reach a level of research and development not seen since the height of the space race. We need to make those investments.
All right. And he compared it to the space race, which was kind of a nationally galvanizing project in the 1960s when President Kennedy led the effort to get America to the moon and get there first. You made a comparison between this and the Human Genome Project. Is this the right thing for now? Is this the one that's going to put the nation, you know, have everybody come together around a science project? Or maybe it should be renewable energy. Is it mapping the brain?
Well, I'm very biased. I think that the understanding how the brain works is the most interesting question and challenge for science and technology. And if you think about it, it's a historic moment whenever mankind figures out how the brain works, because we are our minds. Essentially, everything that we are is our brain. So we will understand ourselves for the first time. And I think it's pretty clear that we still don't understand how the brain works. And part of the problem is that we don't have the right tools. We cannot watch that movie that's playing in these trillion connections of our brains because we can only look at single neurons at a time.
Give me an example of a question that with this funding you would love to try to answer about the brain. Besides the sort of macro description that you just gave us about the trillion neurons and there's so much we still don't understand, what's a particular question that could enhance human beings' quality of life that you'd like to know the answer to?
Let me just give you one example, epilepsy, okay? I would love to watch how an epileptic seizure spreads through the brain one neuron at a time, okay, and see which neuron is critical for that spread. And if we learn that, we would be able to go in there with our experimental tools and create new ways to treat epilepsy. We may be able to stop the seizure another example could be schizophrenia. Okay, it's unclear what's wrong with schizophrenia. It's a gigantic problem for mankind, okay, devastating disease, and it's very likely that it's a problem with the pattern of activity of the brain. It's not really a problem with anything specific, but more with a pattern. So if we could actually see the abnormal patterns of activity, we may be able to learn about them enough to rechannel and treat schizophrenics.
David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Dr. Raphael Yost. Hi, David.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, what's the question?
Thanks for having me. I have a question. Assuming that the map is completed, what do you think the benefits would be in kind of the quest for artificial intelligence? I've kind of read a little bit about how mapping the brain could help in that department, developing kind of like real artificial intelligence.
Yes, absolutely. I think what could happen is that we could be inspired by the tricks that we learn that nature has put in our brains. And I'm talking very general about brains. It's not just the human brain, but the brain of animals. And you have to realize for the project of this magnitude, which is likely going to take a decade or more, there will be a substantial amount of work first in experimental animals until we have the tools developed for the humans. But we will learn many tricks for computation that nature is using. We have this little brains in the natural world that are computing amazing, fascinating things, very powerful. So I think if we could learn this trick, we'd be able to build not just better computers, but better electronic circuits, and in a way you could imagine revolutionizing the technology that we have right now.
Little brains in the natural world. And in literature that you and your colleagues have put out about the BAM project, we saw that, for example, you predict that you'll be able to observe the function of the zebrafish brain after 15 years. So how much of the research will be about the human brain directly, and how similar is, for example, a zebrafish to a human in terms of brain function?
Okay, first question. I think we need to develop non-invasive techniques to study humans, whereas we can use invasive techniques for laboratory animals. So we will start with laboratory animals, but in parallel start working on non-invasive techniques. Now, I cannot tell you when we'll get to the human, but this will be our ultimate goal, okay? I think this second question, how similar are human brains from other brains? If we're learning something in biology over the last 50 years, is the universality of nature. And the way the body develops, the way our different body parts work is exactly the same from one species to the other. Even Drosophila has a similar mechanism for generating body parts that we do. So it's very likely, and you have to realize we're talking from ignorance. We don't really know how this bloody thing works. But it's very likely that the human brain will have a very similar activity patterns and building logic as the brain of other mammals.
You talked about some of the potential disease-fighting benefits of this kind of research. I think Shelley in Brooklyn has an idea that runs in a different direction. Hi, Shelley, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I am a teaching artist, a professional teaching artist, and I've been a school psychologist in Brooklyn schools. And I'm developing art projects that teach a variety of brain-based skills for improving social-emotional intelligence, let's say, for bringing positive emotion to the body and the brain. So I wanted to ask you if you could speak in any way to what benefits art-making might have in terms of being a technique for engaging children and building better brains.
It's a great question.
Well, I'm not sure how to answer it. It is obviously interesting and good to have art as a stimulating threat in the teaching and training of children, but I think what we're proposing is something much more basic. So we're really after what are the building blocks of the brain and how does the brain work? This is our ultimate question.
Well, with respect to creativity, for example, might you find a connection with the map that's been made of the human genome? So that there would be some gene or combination of genes that affect the structure of the brain in some way differently in different individuals that make people more or less you know, open to or likely to engage in serious creative projects?
Well, yes, absolutely. We could get to that point, but it is definitely not our first initial priority. And I mean, the hope is also like with the human genome. It got to the point today where it's cheap enough to sequence the human genome that you can have your personalized genome. And we could imagine that down the line you could have your own personalized brain map, okay? But we're talking now more in the realm of science fiction. I think what we're focused on as rigorous scientists is more in the next 5-10 years, what are the pieces that we need to put in place so that the future of neuroscience could actually go in this direction.
We're talking with Dr. Raphael Yuste, a neuroscientist at Columbia University who's working with the White House on the proposal coming out of the Obama administration to fund research and development of a human brain activity map. And Therese in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Therese.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to ask the doctor, I have a child who suffers from OCD, and no doctor that we've been all over the country, no one can explain how intrusive thoughts work. This would be a great area for research so we could finally understand this awful disease.
This is you're absolutely right. And we have your thoughts and the thoughts of patients and families that are suffering brain diseases at the core of our motivation. I myself was trained as an MD originally, decided to switch to basic research after doing a rotation in psychiatry ward, where I realized that we really didn't understand what's wrong with schizophrenics. We couldn't treat them because, I mean, we can treat them, but we cannot really get to the cause of the disease. No. And I think the same thing is true for OCD. I mean, it's very simple. Imagine you have a car and the car is broken. In order to fix it, you need to understand how it works. And since we don't understand how the brain works, it's very difficult for medicine now to fix this problem. That's why we need more emphasis in basic research to really understand this machine.
That's an unusual and, I think, very admirable career track, because usually people who become MDs find it lucrative enough anyway to practice, depending on their specialty, and there they are in practice. But you are so curious about how things work that you turn to basic research, which you don't have to have an MD degree to do.
That's right. I think I was always interested in basic research, but there's nothing like trying to treat or cure a schizophrenic patient, particularly the paranoid schizophrenics. I remember those distinctly. These are some of the smartest people I've ever met, and they were off. So they have very precise, very beautiful minds, except they're a little bit off. No? And you just wonder, what is it in their brain that we can switch and just make it click so that they become normal people?
On the comparison with the Human Genome Project, that sought to find the sequence of base pairs in DNA. So there's an endpoint. People have declared the Human Genome Project completed. That map has been made, though, of course, there's ongoing research into how genes express themselves. Would mapping the human brain actually be completed at some point?
Yes. Let me actually take the discussion away from humans for a second to laboratory animals. I remind you that the name of the project is not the human brain map. It's the brain activity map.
What's the difference?
The brain encompasses all species, okay, all the nervous systems of different species. So let's just take a simpler case. Let's take, for instance, a fruit fly, okay? Drosophila melanogaster, 150,000 neurons. An endpoint would be to image the activity of every single neuron of the fly while the fly is carrying out a particular behavior, or the fish that you mentioned earlier. If we had that, we should be able to decode what the patterns of activity mean and how that they generate behavior. Because at the end of the day, there's no more neurons in there doing the job. See what I'm saying? Yeah, you would have a complete description of the activity of the entire nervous system.
So it could be done. Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, gentlemen. I was curious to ask you, if the professor thinks that as we get to know more and more about the human brain, if it's possible that we may find out there's less difference than we thought than between us and computers and machines.
Well,
and the question is, I guess my further question would be, is it Does the professor think that we might find out as we map an ever-increasing part of the brain that there may not be as much of a difference between us and very sophisticated machines?
And machines. Well, first of all, humans feel emotions. We can love our families. I don't think machines can do that. So is that something you'd even be looking for?
I think we're using the word computer and computation in neuroscience more as a metaphor, in the sense that we're entering uncharted territories. No one has been there. No one has ever had a clue of how the brain works. So we look around for what is the best tools and metaphors that we can use to imagine what's on the other side. And we use computers as an example of electronic circuits, and we talk about neural circuits and neural computation. But that doesn't mean that what we're going to find has anything to do with what we call computers and circuits in our day-to-day life.
When a machine can fall in love, then we can start doing that research. We're almost out of time. I just want to ask if you think that when the president announces his budget next month, his proposed budget for the next fiscal year, which he generally announces every March, whether you think there's going to be a specific line in this. It would be hundreds of millions of dollars for the first year if what was reported in the Times over 10 years is accurate. So are you expecting a particular brain activity map budget line?
I hope so. But let me tell you that we're just scientists, and our role is to maybe inspire the administrators with our ideas. And it's up to them to decide whether they want to heed them or not.
All right. Well, as you've been hearing, the New York Times reported that the White House is planning a decade-long project called the Brain Activity Map, and we've been honored to speak with Dr. Raphael Yuste, a neuroscientist and researcher at Columbia University, who's been involved with the early stages of this project. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, our next guest. Stay with us.